So, Joe, if I turn to you now on how companies can effectively evaluate their automation needs, what is it that companies can do to make sure that they choose the right tools? Because it's important that you have the right tools. Because, you know, if you're trying to, I don't know, build something, you need to make sure that you've got your correct building materials, otherwise it's all going to fall down. What is it that companies need to do in order to evaluate and make sure that they're using the correct technologies to streamline their workflows that they have?
Sure. I think one of the best ways of doing this, and we've all been part of that and that process, is actually seeking out people that have done this before. Yes, it might be an upfront cost for the company, but in the long run, they're going to be saving time by bringing people in who have that experience. And it's, let's say, in automation from the AEC industry, and let them evaluate what they feel you are lacking, because sometimes it's better to have, you know, two eyes rather than one, and they might actually have done this before with many other companies, and we've all been part of that. We've been both part of the company side, but also then the advice and experience giving side as a consultant. So that would be one of the best ways, I would say, of pushing a company forward in evaluating what they need for their current workflow and how they can push forward with that and the timeline that they can start delivering. So, and I guess off the back of that is then the training of the actual people within the company. So once they've evaluated that and they've understood where the kind of the loopholes are, they can then start training their staff up in those, or a few of those kind of super users, if you like, in areas of automation and areas to push the company forward. And I know that we have, all three of us, or probably all four of us, including Ubertool, have been part of that process. So that's how I would say that a company would be best evaluating that automation, of
Brilliant.
The needed automation.
So, I take it when you evaluate, you find out the grey areas, you understand the underlying issues, and then kind of patching together the different tools and see how we can utilize that. Sam, do you have anything else that you can say that can fill in, you know, part of where technologies need to streamline our workflows? What is it that we need to look for? Do you have a kind of a method to the madness? You know, you go into an office and you think, right, okay, this is going to be the process. These are the workflows that we're working on. And these are the three different common tools that we always have. A bit like, you know, you're going to start a new business. Well, do you need Microsoft Office? You know, that kind of tool.
Sure. I mean, a large part of it, as Joe was saying, comes from the experience of the individuals in question, right? So now, I mean, well, each of us have got, you know, 5+ years of experience. I mean, probably longer than that. I think probably closer to 10 years now of experience in this sector of, you know, having encountered these various tools and things. I mean, my personal kind of approach to it nowadays. So part of my role, I sit at the other end of a ticket help desk, or I have oversight of a ticket help desk. So you start to see trends in the kinds of issues that people are facing. That's a huge, you know, marker for, you know, everybody is having issues with duplicating sheets and views. Well, right there, there's a really easy automation that could kind of plug into that. You know, you can quite quickly do a, you know, a Google search and identify that there are a few tools like, you know, ID8 and DRoots off the top of my head. You know, I'm sure there are hundreds and hundreds of these. So that, you know, there's definitely kind of an understanding of understanding coming from the experience of the users, from the kind of issues that the users are facing. And the kind of the third thing that I like to do is actually have user groups based off of, you know, a handful of, when we were all working together, we used to have the BIM model champions, I think we called the group, or the model leads, which effectively were a group of the, you know, the power users from each project, essentially. And then we would meet together on a, you know, once a fortnight, once a month kind of thing, talk through what issues were being faced and how people had resolved it. And that served to be a really good utility of, you know, these are the kind of issues that are being faced, not just from one particular person on one team, but from multiple users across multiple teams. Is there something we can use to plug that gap? And actually, you know, again, going back to when we all worked together, that was kind of, I believe, the origin of the door schedule process, right? Where there were a handful of different kind of Dynamo definitions to enhance the way that door schedules were created, because actually there was a huge kind of, if you want to talk about time wastage, there was a huge time sink of things being exported. Then, you know, the export was then kind of being manually processed by document controllers to get data in the right order and things like this. But actually, you know, those kind of manual and repetitive tasks, that's exactly the sweet spot of automation, right? That's the really low hanging fruit of automation.
I love that. The sweet spot of automation. Brilliant. So do you think that people know that they're doing something that is wasting their time? Or do you think it takes someone like yourselves to kind of go past the desk and realize, oh, you know, what are you doing? You got the stone and chisel out again? You know, what's happening here? Or do people recognize, oh, actually, I've got this long task? Because I know when I was in practice, if I had the long task ahead of me, I think, right, okay, bring the cup of tea. I know this is going to be a long day. Let me just kind of work through it. And you get a lot of people that do that. They just think, right, okay, today's going to be that day where I need to churn out the window schedules or door schedules, etc. Do people realize that they're wasting time and that automation can help them?
I think it depends on the person. You know, we've all met lots of different people and we work with lots of different people of different capabilities. And like, for example, Sam knew exactly his capability at that present time. I'm using Sam as an example because, well, he's here and he's a good example. And when Sam didn't know how to do it, or I didn't know, we could both bounce off each other and help each other out to actually solve this problem or solve this problem. And we worked as a team to actually solve that problem. But there are some people that just go down that rabbit hole and then they get to the end of the day and go, I could have asked someone for help. And they, you know, and they then actually come over to you and say, oh, I was doing this all day. Was there a quicker way? And the likelihood is, it's like, yes. Yes, there was a much quicker way. Why didn't you come and ask me earlier on? And we could have actually solved this together. And you would have been on to designing the next block, for example. You know, so it depends on the person and them understanding their capabilities at that time.
Do you think sometimes it can be too late to ask the question? So, you know, like that shy person that will come up to you 1 minute to five because they took trying to gain the courage all day to come up to you and ask you that question. Do you think,
I think part of our role, just to kind of continue there, sorry guys, it was when we were in the office together, we actively went around the teams asking, you know, and saying, hey, is everything okay? Is there anything you need help with? And 9 times out of 10, there was some person said, oh, yes, actually, I'd like some input on this. And at that point, like Sam said, that's the sweet spot. You've helped them because they didn't want to reach out at that moment in time. You've caught it at the right moment. And ultimately, you've saved the team and the company wasted time. So I think it's also about being proactive. And I know that's a little bit harder when you're not in the office or, you know, where we were at home remote. But, you know, I think that's something I'd add.
I think the remote side of working is helped the shy people because they can now send a message, they can now ask a question. But with the being in person and asking the person and getting that physical reaction back to say, what, you don't know about this tool? You've been on the training course for 3 days, you know, that kind of thing. And it's at least with the laptop, you can close the laptop and say, yeah, that's it. You know, it's fine. Job's done. I've asked the question and kind of move on with it. I think it appeals to different markets there. Sorry, Sam, did you have another point you'd like to add to that?
Well, all I was going to say is that, you know, that shyness is kind of, I would say, the minority of people not asking questions when it comes to things. There's kind of this, like the blinkers are on, right? Like you're focusing on, usually is the case because there are deadlines, right? And it's kind of the irony of what we do is that people are so focused on achieving whatever it is they need to achieve for their deadline that they will sit down and manually do a repetitive task throughout a day, you know, they will spend a whole, you know, 7-8 hour day inputting data into doors or something like that, because they are blinkered by the fact that, you know, I've got to get this done. I have to get this done. There's no, you know, I just need to crack on. I don't have time to talk to someone to ask if there's a better way. And it, you know, I'd say the majority of times where I've come across this issue where, you know, it's like, oh, didn't you know we could have automated that? We actually already have automation for it. And they kind of just go, oh, I had no idea. I was just trying to get it done. So that you, there needs to be a kind of an aspect of stepping back, you know, what Joe was saying about when we used to go round and actually kind of interrogate is too strong of a word for it. But, you know, you did have to kind of draw it out of people sometimes to just say, look, you know, we are here, we are a supporting team, and we're offering you support. You know, are you really saying that there's nothing you could be doing better? And that's usually when they come out and they go, oh, actually, you know, yeah, I have been trying to flip all of the doors all day. And you kind of think, oh, geez, well, you know, let's stop doing that manually now, and we'll show you, you know, even if it's not automation, there's usually kind of a, you know, a workflow process that you can apply to speed things up, which you only really get when you've got the benefit of knowledge of being in a troubleshooting role for a very long time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is a question I'm going to ask to Mladen. Okay, so what is your experience when people request automation, not fully understanding what is actually involved? How do you deal with that?
That's a good question. Typically, people ask for automation. Yeah. I believe people would ask for automation if they know very well what it does, or if they don't know what to expect at all. They just want to click a button and, you know, the magic happen. However, there is, you know, as we expect those new tools to perform some magic on the model, there is the user input, which is quite an important part of the workflow. So having proper manuals in place on how those tools work, so people can follow them. The input is quite key. So having those regular catch-ups that Sam mentioned earlier with the most experienced people on the projects across the office. They know about the tools that are in place and how much time can be saved and what's required for those tools to be run on projects. I think and another key aspect, coming back to the previous question, I strongly believe the key for any successful automation in the office is feedback from the users, because the BIM coordinators and the BIM managers, they put in place those workflows and those processes in place, but it is the end user that's using them.
Absolutely. So, that's a really key point.
Dialogue between coordinators and the end users is key. And I always say, if you repeat something more than 10 times, you know, come and talk to us. People, if when that discussion is happening across the office, I think everyone will be aware of the automation process in place. If that kind of engages them into more in-depth thinking about the processes, which can lead to new ideas for tools, and with proper skills, you know, they can be developed in place, and that's how kind of the all teams move forward together.
I love that. It's almost like you're trying to break the barrier between those who develop and those who are using, because there's no point in developing something that's going to be not useful for those who are going to be using it, is it? So yeah, a really, really valid point on that one. Coming up next on Optimize et al. Do you think that is actually going to make you lazier, or do you think it is optimizing your time?
It is funny, actually, when we were talking about the Ferrari earlier, I kind of had this other analogy that popped into my head about, you know, automation compared to cars, right? And if you think of a manual transmission car as your baseline Revit, once upon a time, some clever clogs came up with, you know, an automatic transition, and suddenly you didn't need to change gears manually, you didn't need to hold down the clutch pedal. All of this stuff started working a lot smoother. And I'll go back to my car analogy and just say, even if you don't have an understanding of what's going on under the hood, make sure you have an appreciation of what's going on under the hood.
So let's say a new business comes and approaches you and they would like to implement some automation within their practice. What would your key advice be for that business?
Understand the end goal. People with less technical aptitude tend to jump at the idea of automation or AI. You know, it's kind of like wouldn't it be great if we could automate everything, and wouldn't we? But actually, if you don't know kind of what it is that you're trying to end up, you know, what is the ideal that you're trying to achieve, you're just going to burn hours trying to achieve something.
If people want to really push forward automation and new processes, they need to be curious every single day and just keep an eye on what's available.
I'm going to quote Denzel Washington, one of my favorite quotes of all time, and I think it can be applied to every aspect of life, including business. And he says, this was back in 2017, he said, "Without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish." And so if I was to give any advice to a company that were just starting this, I'd say, do you have commitment in going down this rabbit hole in order to develop? Because you don't just develop one bit of automation. Once you start, you develop and you continue developing.